Well, let us turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, please. We're turning again to our studies in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. And we're going right down this evening to verse 29. Last Sunday evening, we were looking at the Lord healing the demoniac in the synagogue at Capernaum, and the Lord is still now in the city of Capernaum. And we're going to read from verse 29. Now, there's very interesting words as I was studying this during the week. You will notice there in verse 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue." He entered into the synagogue. And then in verse 29, it says, "When they were come out of the synagogue." So there was an entering in. Something happened. Christ demonstrated his authority. Then he comes out. And he's still exercising his authority. He entered into the synagogue. He came out of the synagogue. And we read verse 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." Now, as you look at those details, it tells you that Peter's house was very close by. He lived in Capernaum on the shores of Lake Galilee, probably not too far from the synagogue where the preaching of the word took place. So keep these thoughts before you. Verse 30 reads, "But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon," or immediately, "they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the word of God that we're enabled to read in such a way this evening without fear or reproach. And yet it is our prayer, Lord, that the word of the Lord will have free course and be glorified, not only outside these walls, but Lord, in the hearts of men. We think of those gathering here tonight who will hear the word of God, who will hear the message preached. Lord, we pray that the word spoken will come as a challenge. Oh, Holy Spirit, we pray thou would take the words of this preacher, and I would make them effectual, Lord. May I not be a hindrance to thy work tonight. But Lord, thou alone who has the words of eternal life, may they be applied by thy Spirit. Do a work for thy name, the glory of that name. We pray. Amen. Now, amen. So Mark chapter 1 we've been reading here. Now, look please with me at verse 29 where it says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." Now, the response of the four fishermen as they left the synagogue that Saturday goes unrecorded. When you go back to verse 21 and read those 5-6 verses, what happened that day in the synagogue when Christ began to teach at the request of the ruler of the synagogue, he would have been given permission to teach and to read the scriptures. And we find that as Christ preached, he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. A new kind of authority. We're not going back over what we said in that message. But we looked last Sunday evening at this man who began to cry out, how the kingdom of hell was disturbed. And we find that these things come apparent, that as Jesus Christ begins his Galilean ministry, that those two things become very apparent. That he is going head to head not only with the false interpretation of the word of God, the scriptures, but his ministry reveals a gripping conflict with the kingdom of hell. And that's why we read there as he was preaching, and we have every reason to believe that while Christ was preaching, that this man or this demon began to cry out, and Christ, rebuking that demon, calls him to come out, and We find that the people here witnessing this, they're absolutely amazed. They began in verse 27 to question and say, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread through all the region round about Galilee. Now, we've looked at that. And you need to think, well, what would it have been like for Peter and James and Andrew to come out of that synagogue that day, having witnessed the power of Christ over the demonic kingdom? Now, we're not told, it is unrecorded, but we have no doubt that they were absolutely like the people in the synagogue that day, that they were blown away, they were amazed, because these men had only recently been called to follow Christ, and Jesus Christ was preparing them for the ministry that would bring them into conflict with the powers of darkness, with the powers of hell. Remember, it has been approximately 1 year since Christ's baptism. And when Jesus Christ was declared by heaven to be the Son of God, invested with all power and all authority, and we find that what Mark's gospel does, because this is our purpose to study Mark's gospel, that Mark's gospel begins to reveal to us, as do all the other gospels, but Mark does, that Christ's authority is not only over the devil, as was demonstrated in the wilderness and in the synagogue at Capernaum, and that his authority not only extended over men as well, as was with the calling of the people or the four men, but also his authority was over sinners, as was manifested in the conversion of Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, all of those things which took place before these words here. You see, you've got to remember that Matthew's gospel as well, and Luke's gospel, you read it alongside the gospel of Mark, and you find that the order really is Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount. Then we have the leper healed. Then we have the centurion's servant healed, just as Christ is going into that Sabbath day. When you read here on the Sabbath day of Christ coming into Capernaum and straightway into the synagogue, it's Matthew that records that on that same event that there was a man's servant healed, the centurion's servant. And those men going up to that synagogue that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon, they would have witnessed that. They would have seen that this man has authority over sinners, over men, over sickness. And now we find as we come into these verses that when Jesus Christ leaves the synagogue and comes into the home of Simon Peter and finds that Simon's wife's mother is lying sick of a fever, that they realize that Christ has also authority and power over the effects of the fall and the effects of sin. This is an amazing chapter to read because, men and women, we need to understand something here. What does the ministry of Christ in the first chapter of Mark show us? It shows us that the spiritual world, as well as the physical world, has been completely devastated by the curse of God. It has been completely devastated by sin and by Adam's first transgression, and that's what it is. Our world is devoured tonight, men and women, by sickness, by pain, by death, by all those things, and we can't deny that. We know that. Every day you hear it. People dying with cancer, people going through pain, through car accidents, and the tragedies just seem to be this year, every day. Pain and suffering and sorrow and sickness and maladies that overcome us. And we must remember, men and women, that the physical realm has been devastated by the fall of man. And what Mark shows us, that Christ comes in and has come into this world. And he establishes his authority not only over the devil and over he who caused the fall, but over the effects of sin and pain and suffering as well. We've got to understand that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we must recognize that the spiritual and physical realms have been devastated by sin. And in those realms, the physical and the spiritual, Jesus Christ reigns supreme. He exercises full authority and dominion and power in the physical realm as well as in the spiritual. And you see, that's what a redeemer is. Jesus Christ has come into this world not only to redeem the soul, but to redeem the body. We are, as we looked at the Bible class a few weeks ago, we are body and soul, or spirit. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But we are spiritual, we are physical. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans that even this world is awaiting the day of redemption. And Jesus Christ has come, and the Redeemer will redeem the souls of men and the bodies of men as well. And his ministry established that. It was a great preacher by the name of Thomas Boston. And here's what he said. The fall of man. And you little children here tonight, we teach you about the fall of man in Sunday school, don't we? We tell you that Adam disobeyed God. Is that right? And he took that fruit, or whatever it was, in the tree. And as soon as he did, immediately the seeds of death and sin, Thomas Boston said, the fall planted in man the fatal seeds and principles of corruption. Man began to die. And a man began to die in the most unnatural experience because he was created not to die. And that's what makes this chapter so important and so thrilling, because here we see Christ coming into a home, a man who was a believer, and we find that his wife's mother is lying sick with an infection or a very high fever, a severe fever, and we find that Jesus Christ shows his authority over the sickness, over the illness in this place. And I want us to look at this tonight for a few moments. I want us to see Christ's authority over the physical effects of sin in the Gospel of Mark. Now look first of all here in verse number 30, because I want you to look at this. It says, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon, the word means immediately, right away, they tell him of her. They told her, told him. And you notice here firstly the appeal of Peter. And the appeal is, Lord, my wife's mother is very sick. And the words do indicate an appeal, because if you look there at verse 30 very carefully, it says, and they, it means at once, and at once they immediately told her. And the word tell there is a very interesting word. I was looking at it this week, and you know what the word is, little children? It's the word Lego. The word Lego. You know what Lego's like? I know what it's like when you step out of bed onto a piece. Very sore. But that's the word Lego, comes right from the Greek. And you know what it means? It means to set down in a system. You know where you build your little blocks, children? And you lay them down in order and you build them systematically. That's what the word tell means. It means Peter began to Lego. He began to tell systematically, Lord, here's what's happening with my mother-in-law. He begins to tell her, and he begins to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he begins to tell him everything. He begins to systematically discourse and speak with the Lord, and he says, it says here, he told the Lord. He began to unburden his heart to the Lord for his mother-in-law. It's an amazing thought this year. Peter explained to the Lord the circumstances, and that's what makes it an appeal. He brings the Lord into the home. Now, obviously, some commentators say, well, this lady had been ill for some time, and Peter had a reason. Lord, you need to come to my home. It wasn't a matter of coming home for lunch and discovering that his wife's mother was lying ill. Peter had just witnessed the Lord's healing of the centurion's servant. He had seen the people respond in a way that terrified them. This man speaking with authority. And now they see the Lord casting out a demon. And immediately he says, Lord, you must come to my home. And he begins to tell the Lord. Immediately he tells the Lord of the circumstances of what's going on here. Now turn over to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. And Luke chapter 4 is one of those, is a chapter that is the parallel passage. In Luke chapter 4, and you all know that Luke's job, he was a doctor, he was a physician. So therefore he brings a different aspect to it. In verse 38. In verse 38 of Luke chapter 4, we read, when they arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. Do you see that? And they besought him, Lord, you've got to do something. And that's what Luke adds to it. He says this is not just an ordinary fever. This is a great fever, a high fever, which means this woman was dangerously ill. Something had to be done. This woman was unable to move. She was lying in bed with a raging infection. That's really what this fever was, a raging infection. And nothing could be done. And they begin to appeal to the Lord and say, Lord, you must do something. That's a wonderful thought tonight. You know the spiritual application here. You know what it is? The whole world tonight lies in a universal state of illness and sickness, spiritually and physically too. The effects of sin are seen all around in our homes. We feel it ourselves. And yet we can appeal to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to tell you about this. That's the job of a preacher, to tell you about your need of Christ, that you might go to Christ and tell the Lord of your situation, that Christ might heal you and heal you spiritually. The appeal is amazing because there's an urgency here. If you look again at the words in verse number 30, it says, Simon's wife's mother, she lay sick of a fever. That was her predicament. There's an urgency here by this appeal because she was lying sick. Lying sick, that's her position as well. She's lying sick of a fever. And you know, men and women, we've got to understand that the Holy Spirit records those words to let us see that the urgency here, that this woman was lying. She couldn't move. And there's no doubt that they tried everything they could to bring this woman around, to make her better, to help her, to build her up. All those things would have been tried. But they come to the Lord. And they say to the Lord, Lord, I want to tell you about Peter's wife's mother. I want you to come and see her. You know, there is an urgency about the appeal. Because every one of us, and I may be speaking, indeed I am speaking to those tonight, some who are not saved. And when I use the term not saved, I'm not using Christianese language. You are not ready to meet the Lord. You're not a believer. You're not a Christian. You don't belong to Christ. And the reason why you don't is because you're sick with sin. And then you, there's a raging seed of death that is going to destroy not only you physically, but your soul. And the only way your soul can be healed is by coming and appealing to Christ. I've met them. I want to try church for a while, preacher. I'll try religion. I will try moving up the social ladder and I'm getting a new job. And I've seen it with young men in Belfast. I've worked with them. I remember working with a young lad and his idea was, if I get a job, I'll get off the drugs. Well, you know, it didn't work because he got a job and he spent more money on his drugs. And his drink and his alcohol and his lifestyle never changed. You don't change yourself. You make yourself worse. And the only one that can help tonight and the urgency of this appeal is Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. Secondly, notice the action of Jesus Christ. There was the appeal of Peter, but there was also the action of Christ. And it says he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. He came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And you can see by the action of Jesus Christ that the Lord was actually coming down to her, condescending and showing this woman and those around that this woman could not move herself. This woman could not bring herself to Jesus Christ. She was lying. There's a little verse in 1 John 5 in the verse 19. And it says this, that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And that's true, the whole world lieth. Unable to move, lying in the lap of the evil one. And yet Christ comes and he stands over her. As Luke 4 verse 39 says, it says Christ stood over her and took her and lifted her up. Do you see the action of Jesus Christ here? He condescended. He came down. He came down to her level. You see, a sinner can never lift himself up to Christ. Sinner cannot help themselves to God. You can't help yourself today. We have told you You are dead in trespasses and sins. You cannot move. You cannot think, I'd love to be a Christian tonight. I'd love to try this Christianity. You can't do that because you are dead in trespasses and in sin. You need Christ to reach down. You know, there's a thought there. I love the thought in Luke 4, 39, which says that Christ stood over her and he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. The very action of Jesus Christ shows us there that he is filled with compassion. You know, there's a hymn that we used to always sing a lot in Mount Marion, and it was that hymn, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever a saint find a friend forsake him? No, not one, no, not one. Did ever a sinner find him that he would not take him? Reach down, lift him up. No, no, not one, no, not one. For no one ever cared like me, for me, like Jesus." Dear man or woman tonight, there's not a man, there's not a person in this world who can care for you the way Christ can care for you. There's no preacher can actually show you the compassion that Christ shows, and yet we find here that Christ comes with compassion. But I want you to notice also in the action of Jesus Christ here. Go over, please, to Luke chapter 4 again. Because Luke gives us a little more detail. In Luke chapter 4, verse 39, it says that he stood over her. But Luke also says that he rebuked the fever. That he rebuked the fever. He stood over her and rebuked the fever. Now you can see here that yes, the woman was healed. But the Lord did not come in and address the woman and rebuke the woman. He didn't do that. It was the same with the man who was taken with the demon. In the synagogue, it says he rebuked the demon and said to the demon, "Come out of her." And the Lord did that. The Lord rebuked the demon. And here, the Lord rebukes the fever. And that's what amazes the people. That Jesus Christ exercises authority over the physical effects of men. That's why later on they said, even the waves obey him. Even the wind obeys him. The heavens obey him. Men and women, what a Christ we have. The authority of Jesus. And yet men reject this authority. Every Sunday evening, they walk out of preaching houses and they say, "I will not have this man to rule over me." Jesus Christ. The waves obey him. Even the sicknesses, they obey him. Look at verse 39. It says, "He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her." It left her. Now keep your finger in Luke. Go back to Mark and notice how Mark has a wonderful way of putting it. In Mark chapter 1 and the verse number 29, it says, verse 31, "And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her." Now, he doesn't say the Lord addressed the fever, but he took her by the hand, and in the taking of the hand and in his rebuking of the fever, immediately the fever left her. I think it's in Matthew chapter 8. You can turn over there. We'll all be turning here in a moment or two. But in Matthew chapter 8, we find in verse 15, it says, "He touched her hand and the fever left her." You know, that's not sentimental, weak language. It is showing you and I tonight that Jesus Christ just has to touch the sinner. And immediately. Just a touch. It was a touch of authority. It was a touch of power. It was a touch that demonstrated his dominion, because Christ just simply touched the woman, took her by the hand, and immediately the fever, the word actually means came out. Do you remember when he said to the demon that afternoon, a few hours, maybe moments before, "Come out of this man," and immediately the demon came out. The spirit, the unclean spirit, left her or left him. And it's the same with this fever, this disease. Immediately, the fever left her. The same authority that he exercises over the demons, the powers of hell, he exercises over sickness. The actions of Christ. And then thirdly, we notice his ability. the ability of Christ, his actions. There was the appeal of Peter, but there's also the ability of Christ. For it says, immediately the fever left her. Now, I'll be very quick here. I want you to notice these things. There are many things that would make Christ, as the Word of God describes him, the great physician. One of the great things about Christ is he knows the remedy for every illness. Turn to Matthew 8 there again. Look at the words in verse 14. It says, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, you may not notice this, but it says he saw. It didn't even need Peter to tell him. Peter comes and says, Lord, you need to see my wife's mother. She's lying with a dangerously high fever. But Matthew says that when Christ was coming to the house, he saw her. He saw her. And that's the way it was. Think of Zacchaeus up that tree that afternoon. You remember that, little children? The little man up the tree. As Jesus was passing by, it says he saw him. And Jesus sees the needs of sinners. And he meets the needs of sinners. He knows the cause of every disease. Therefore, he can cure every disease. That's why preaching Christ thrills the heart of a gospel preacher. Because there are many who will come to the preacher and they'll say, you know, I'm too great a sinner. You don't know my background, Paul. You don't know my history. You don't know where I've been. We're a church based in the middle of Antrim. And all around these estates, all around our homes, there are people who need the Lord. And yet those same people, many of them will say, I am too big a sinner for the Lord. I am too deep in my sin. I would come to Christ, but he cannot do me good. There's no point in coming to him, for I have sinned too much. Tell me tonight, what sin is there that Christ cannot heal? Tell me what sin is there that Christ is not conscious of? Tell me what sin there is that Christ does not see. Is it the sin of sodomy? Homosexuality? God saves. God cleanses. Is it a sin of drunkenness, immorality? You name it. What is it? Go to the Bible. Paul said, such were some of you. But you're washed, you're cleansed, you're redeemed. What sin is there that Christ cannot heal because his ability is beyond anything that we can ever think about or even describe? He heals with rapidity. Instantaneous. Look at it. It says immediately, Mark chapter 1, it says immediately the fever left her. He heals with speed. I know when you go to the doctors, if you're like me, you hobble in and you want them to do the quick fix there and then. How long will this take? Oh, you've got to go in 6 weeks, antibiotics. Generally after day three, you forget about the antibiotic. Not right, man. Many doctors' cure is slow, and time must be taken for the effects to kick in of the drugs or the tablets or whatever it might be. But when Jesus Christ heals the soul, it's instantaneous. There's a verse I want to leave with, and with this I'll be almost done. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18, please. And one of the greatest examples in the Word of God we have of a man being healed in his soul immediately is here in Luke chapter 18. If you look at the verse number 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one the Pharisee, the other a publican. Just means one was a very religious man, one was a man who went to church, he went to the synagogue, he read the Word of God, the law of God. But it says here, there was another man who was a publican, a man who was a down and out, a man who was despised. And it says in verse number 11, that the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself and said, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. You know what the man was saying? There's no hope for that man. What's that man doing here? Why is this man in the temple? Because, Lord, your grace cannot reach the man who is unclean, the adulterer, the sinner. You can't reach, your grace can't reach that man. But you see, the difference was in verse 13, it says, the publican standing afar off, what did he do? He cried unto the Lord and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord heard that cry, and the Lord answered that cry, and the Lord saved that man. And you know what we're told? That man went up to the house, the temple, an extortioner, a wicked, vile man. In verse number 14, we read that this man went down to his house justified. Isn't that amazing? He came to the temple that day, condemned by the religion of his day. And yet he left the temple that day, a justified, cleansed, saved man. He went down to his house, the Lord says, justified rather than the other. He went down cleansed. He went down a righteous man. Because that's the speed with which Christ heals. Man comes to Christ and says, Lord, have mercy upon me. That man goes to his home justified. That man goes away from Christ, justified, cleansed, cured. As I close this evening, look at the words in Mark chapter 1 in verse 32, verse 33. It says, "And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door." Now, I always encourage you when you study the Bible to get into what's going on here. Here is Peter's home, fisherman Peter. The Lord's in his home with four men and his sick mother-in-law and his wife, if she was still alive at this time. And we find that at the end of the Sabbath day, now the Jewish Sabbath day always ended at 6 o'clock thereabouts as the sun began to go down. There were two evenings in the Sabbath day. One was an earlier evening and then the later evening. But you know the Jews did not allow healings on the Sabbath day. And we're told there very specifically that when the sun did set, you see how the details are recorded, that when the sun did go down, in fear of the Jews, they began to come to the door of Peter, and all round the door of Peter's home that night, right through probably the whole evening, multitudes were coming. The whole city were coming, Capernaum, and the Lord began to heal them. The Lord began to take away the sickness. Because it says in verse 34 that he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. He cast out many devils, and he suffered the devils not to speak because they knew him. That was the aftermath. Let nothing prevent you from coming to Christ tonight. Yeah, they waited at the 6 o'clock that evening before they came to the door of Peter. They should have came before that. The fear of the Jews kept them to sunset. But they still came. My prayer is this evening that you will recognize Christ as one who has come with the Father's authority to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, to bind up the brokenhearted. He is sufficient, he has the authority, he has the power, he has the ability. Will you not come to Christ? Will you not seek him this evening? The great physician does not only heal the storm, calm the wind, the tempest, deal with the demons, but he can bring the human soul the thing that it most needs. You know what that is? You know what you need tonight more than anything? The forgiveness of God. And Jesus Christ can bring that. For he has the redemptive authority. And I love to think about it that way. The redemptive authority to heal your soul. I don't. The elders don't. No church has. But Christ has been given the redemptive authority to take your soul and save it and cleanse it. And say, you are now justified, you are cleansed, you are righteous before God. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. May God bring you to that point this evening. May many even come to this house. I trust, I was saying this to one of the brethren the other night. I said, you know, may God make this preaching house a place where many thousands of souls are healed. Through the ministry of Christ, may they gather at the doors to hear of a Savior who has all authority, all power given unto him in heaven and earth to deal with the effects of the curse and its effects upon the soul. May God bless you. May God speak to you. May and lead you to him for his name's sake.